as we get underway, we thank you so much for being with us. Going to have another chance this hour for you to win $1,000 in cash. Listen, right near the top of the hour all day between 6 and 3 p.m. So this will be your last opportunity today. You listen for the keyword text 80787. Jot that down because that's not the number you text to communicate with us. 80787 when you hear the keyword, and that'll be your opportunity to win $1,000. You want some more information on that, go to khdk.com. Having a conversation here with a Dodger fan on the text line, and in spectacular fashion, and we'll talk baseball here in just a couple of minutes. Dodgers opened up the season yesterday, had a game that seemed to go on for about 10 hours.
Yeah,
they're off today. You talk about stretching it out. The ring ceremony is tomorrow.
Oh, that's okay. So, yeah, they have the bye, much like the Royals did too, and the A's today.
They're partying hard in Chicago. They thought, Tuesday game, nah. We'll go Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
Yeah.
We'll roll that way.
How about that?
So, ring ceremony for this. So, if you are not sick of Chicago Cubs coverage yet, chances are by the time you get home from work tomorrow, you will be.
Yeah, Dodger fan might be.
Oh, Dodger fan might very, very much. But it was a fun game, too. Again, we'll talk baseball here in just a few minutes. Talked a lot of NBA here today. The Dallas Mavericks and their new addition, their ceremonial addition of Tony Romo. Spent a great deal of time talking about the MVP conversation. The NBA playoff picture, the last game of the regular season at the Golden One Center tonight, and we'll get into some more here in just a second. Eric, you've been waiting so patiently, man. We greatly appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Oh, no problem. Thank you, fellas. A lot of the NBA discussion going on about Westbrook and his triple-doubles, and, you know, no one ever talks about, you know, back in the day, they always said, you know, you got to be aware of the good player on the bad team because the numbers aren't inflated, and everyone's enamored by that, you know. I would give it to LeBron or Harden, say the truth, or Kevin Durant.
Well, and that's Jason and I were able to touch on that just for a second yesterday, is it would be really interesting if Kevin Durant hadn't gotten injured, because he was the best player on the Golden State Warriors at the time that he had gotten hurt, and he was very much in the MVP conversation. The thing is, though, Eric, Oklahoma City's not a bad team.
Yeah, but they have much better teams than Oklahoma City. Yeah. And if you really want to discuss a player that's really making a difference on their team that's in the playoffs, no one's talking about Giannis, who's leading his team in every statistical category.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right.
He could be one of the first. And they're a sixth seed in the East. I mean, Westbrook has the
He got a triple-double last night.
Yes.
No, you're right, Eric. You're right, man. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for the call. And, man, a lot of people feel the way Eric does it. The wins aren't enough in terms of Russell Westbrook's candidacy for the MVP.
And I'm that's kind of my one knock on him, but I'm a big fan of LeBron. I don't think this is anywhere close to his best season. And they haven't won enough for me. I don't like the way it's ending. I don't think he's one of them.
You know what's crazy about that is his year, his stats, what he does stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
But you're comparing it to other LeBron years.
Right.
It's like, it's good.
Right.
It's really good.
I'm comparing it to other LeBron years where I felt he had less and he won more games with maybe even more. So he has more. Like, the argument for Westbrook doesn't have anybody, Harden doesn't have anybody. LeBron has two other All-Stars and kept adding people, too.
Yeah.
He's got help.
I know. I hate this, and I feel like they've just paced themselves all year.
Probably.
I don't think they've 2 seed, 3 seed, 8 seed. I don't think they care. They being Cleveland, I don't think Cleveland cares where they finish.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's the proverbial switch that you turn on, but they pace themselves. They're not worried. And if you're a Cavs fan, I don't know how many are out there.
Yeah.
They're not worried either. We've seen it so many times before. I don't think LeBron's ever lost a first-round playoff series.
Oh, no, I don't think so either. And I think now you would just – there's two ways this can go. If they do flip that switch and they get to the Easter – or the finals again, it's like, yeah, we all worried about nothing. But if they don't, these are all the warning signs. They're all here in front of us. Their defense has been awful. They're having weird losses. They're not as sharp. I don't know what it is.
Does Cleveland get – well, and plus the regular season is ending, right? So it's what's on our mind right now, because we had this conversation a couple of months ago. Then they started winning a whole bunch of games. And it was, we had this conversation about Golden State not that long ago after Durant got hurt. It's like, oh, something's wrong here. They're, the depth, the bench, it's not. And then they won like 12. Have they lost last night?
Last
they lost
night,
last night. Was
funny.
That their first loss?
Yeah, with Durant back. It's like, oh, and of course they're not worse with Durant. But, yeah, they got hot too. They picked the right time to feel good about themselves going into the postseason.
LeBron's six straight finals.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing.
Would this Cavs team get out of the West?
No.
No chance.
I don't. I don't think the bottom of the West is that dynamic, but the top two, three, that would be tough.
We got Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, the Pacers, the Raptors, Milwaukee, Washington, and Atlanta.
I mean, that's where everything I just said about Cleveland, where I'm worried. I don't like the way it's going. Their defense has been bad. I just can't pick anyone else but them to win it, though.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was getting at as I read off those teams. It's like, who you want to roll with? Like, Washington was knocking on the door of the number one seed. Mm-hmm. Now they're four. They're getting banged up at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And then you got Toronto, who's lost to the Sacramento Kings for two straight freaking years.
Yeah.
And then, and I know that doesn't play in, but the point was, I don't think anyone is scared of Toronto as dynamic as that backcourt probably is. And then there's Boston. The Boston, with a struggling, or a quote-unquote struggling Cavaliers team, they got beat up at home by the Cavs a couple of days ago.
Yeah, it's like I like that Toronto has playoff experience. Now, they're battle-tested. I like Washington's talent. And then Boston... I kind of question toughness and inside play. So there's negatives on all those teams, too. I know the Cavs, I'm sitting here saying, well, they haven't defended very well. But again, six straight trips to the finals. You still believe they have the best player, that if anyone could turn the switch, it would be him and make everyone else better. They still hit a bunch of threes, too. And, you know, it could be like last year, remember when they were playing Atlanta and all they were doing is hitting threes. And the Hawks played them pretty tough but couldn't do anything about it. Yeah, having a week off for LeBron, we'll see if that helps him come weekend time when they start the playoffs.
So six in a row, seven total. Out of those seven, he's been the number two seed twice. He's been the number one seed.
That's actually surprising.
Twice.
Yeah.
So whatever happens over the course of these next couple of games with Cleveland and Boston, and LeBron's not playing, whether Kyrie and Kevin Love play in the final, that who knows? They don't care.
Yeah,
the people have speculated. Do they care? Do they care? Does Cleveland care about that number one seed? You know now, based on the fact LeBron didn't play yesterday, and with the number one seed on the line, he's not playing. They don't care.
Yeah, and especially in one sense, if it lays out as it is, and there are two, and Boston's a one, and for whatever reason, the Eastern Conference Finals was played between those two, and it went a seventh game in Boston, LeBron could win there.
Of course.
Not like he go. Well, I don't see them winning a game seven, and yeah, they'd probably be favored. So they've been there, they've done it, and you would expect them to do it again.
Our guy Marcus Thompson of the Bay Area News Corp covers the Golden State Warriors. We talked to him a lot in the NBA Finals. I'm sure we'll talk to him again going forward as we enter the playoffs here. He wrote a book called The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, and according to that book, according to Marcus Thompson, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook are just a couple of players who have a strong dislike for Steph Curry. Marcus was talking on Jason McIntyre's Big League podcast and noted that everybody got along fine until he seemed to ascend to this superstar level without having to, as they said, pay the dues that you have to pay to be a superstar, which is a term I absolutely hate and think is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But apparently Steph isn't looked at fondly among his counterparts.
Well, I would be curious what they define as paying their dues. It's not like he just came into the league and got to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Took him a while to – he had some ankle injuries. They had, you know, lottery trips. They didn't just come right in, and he wasn't the NBA darling right away, I didn't think.
Just looking at these names – LeBron, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. Here's one. Now, this quote isn't attributed to Chris Paul, but his name is in its context. Chris Paul and the rest of the Los Angeles Clippers also dislike the Warriors, which we knew. We knew that anyways. They dislike the Warriors taking over the Western Conference when they were, and this is a quote, next in line to win a championship. Mm.
You got passed.
Where's that line?
Exactly.
I didn't know that that's how this worked. I wasn't aware we had like a cafeteria tray.
Right.
And yeah, we were waiting for the mashed potatoes to get thrown on our tray. I wasn't aware that was a thing.
Yeah, and if there's such a line, the Spurs haven't relinquished it then, right? Their spot, because this is the 20th year in the playoffs, which is ridiculous. There's no line. I mean, you're doing the progression of what usually happens. Clippers get there, get a little better, get close, maybe step back, then try to jump back up. Warriors passed them.
Warriors progressed faster.
Yeah, they did. They did. Did it better, managed their money better, got some breaks, player development was good, drafted well, added a great free agent this offseason. They're ahead of you.
Another quote from Marcus Thompson. There's another relationship where Curry was like, oh, I look up to you. And then suddenly there was this disdain versus Steph. There's a lot of those. We noted Westbrook earlier. When Marcus was asked about the relationship between Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry, he replied, Westbrook simply does not like him. But, I when you look at LeBron, you look at Chris Paul, and I guess Westbrook to a certain degree, those three players, LeBron especially because he was the focal point of the basketball universe from the time he was 17.
Right.
On the cover of Sports Illustrated, number one overall pick, come save the city, had a Nike commercial built off of his first professional basketball game at Arco Arena. Everything he's ever done in his entire career was looked at under a microscope. The move to Miami, and you can argue how that was done. The move back to Cleveland, which there's a book written about by Brian Windhorst and Dave McMiniman, I think, that just came out today. Russell Westbrook, you had the situation with James Harden and Kevin Durant, their trip to the finals. How are you going to keep all three of them? Well, we can't. Okay, which actually it was four of them because you got to count Serge Ibaka in there because of the money that he was due to get. Well, how are you going to keep all those guys? Well, we can't. Who are you going to get rid of? James Harden. Okay, so it's Westbrook and Durant, two guys who want to be the alpha. Very much a Shaq and Kobe situation where both guys believe that they're great. So they went through their adversity in a much smaller city, smaller market, so to speak. And then Chris Paul, who was a part of the strangest situation, I think, in recent NBA history, when he was traded to the Lakers, and David Stern just said no.
Yeah, not happening.
I'm not going to let you go play with Kobe Bryant, and I think Pau Gasol was there.
Yeah.
No, we're just not going to let you do that. And then he gets shipped off to the Clippers while the league is owned by the New Orleans team that he had played for. So they all experienced this. I don't know if that's adversity. Is that they all experience stuff, right? Whereas Steph, and again, I'm just trying to put the pieces of this together. Steph just kind of comes in, signs the most team-friendly contract, I think, in the history of professional sports. The ink dries, and he explodes the next year.
Right.
And before you know it, he's the face of the – well, you could argue he's the face of the league.
Yeah. I don't know where the disdain, I'm trying to figure out from the other players. I think the way they play as a fan of the sport is really enjoyable to watch. I would think the only thing, and we've commented on our show about this, Damian, that maybe sometimes they get caught up a little bit in the, like, for example, the cupcake thing with Durant, and then there they are wearing cupcake shirts. Mm-hmm. Stuff like just little petty things. That's about it for me with them as far as what would be offensive. But other than that, the way they play nightly is about as enjoyable as it gets.
Gosh, this happened so quick. We speculated during that run, how long would it take them to turn heel? They are full-fledged heels now. It's the strangest thing because there's only one bad guy. There's only one, like, real NBA bad guy on the team or one bad guy character or one guy who you look at and you go, okay, he's the heel. The rest of the guys are baby faces. Steph Curry's a literal baby face.
Yeah.
And then you got Draymond Green over there who's supposed to, you know, kind of be the counter to that, or whether he's supposed to be or just happens to be the counter to that. But it happened really, really quick with that team where they were the darlings, and now they've been turned on.
Yeah, which I mean, their fans haven't, and others, but I don't know. They're not that offensive to me.
The cupcake thing, that's not really a Steph Curry thing either. That was a Golden State Warrior thing. They all had them on.
Yeah.
And in that case, It didn't agitate me. I thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. I thought it was rallying behind their teammate. I hate it was at the expense of my guy, Russell Westbrook, as just a fan. But Durant, shoot, you rally behind your guy.
Yeah.
And that's Durant. You rally behind your teammate. And I was fine that they did that.
Yeah, I don't know why, back to the peers, the players, why they would have a belief that this was just given to the Warriors. I just don't see it that way. I mean, I think their coach is likable. I think they've worked hard. I think they've got a lot of talent. I think the way they initially kind of changed the dynamic of their offense as far as freedom of movement, read and react, play that way, and then shoot the ball and shoot beyond the arc. And other teams have taken that premise and maybe advanced on it, like Houston. I think other people are trying to be like them. But to cut them down or cut him down specifically, I don't know. I don't find them that offensive.
A lot of people on the text line don't like Chris Paul.
Well, I can understand the Clippers' hatred for them because they can't beat them.
Sure.
LeBron maybe
literally
felt that way.
They literally can't beat the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, that could happen in round two. And, I mean, that would just be literally maybe the end of the Clippers. Maybe.
Yeah. No, I mean, it could be. Do you think with LeBron it's a case of it's a defense mechanism as someone's approaching the throne?
Probably something to that.
Because LeBron, one thing I've learned in reading about LeBron and kind of studying these players as individuals, I don't want to say he believes his own hype because that's totally undermining what he is. LeBron knows who the hell he is, mm-hmm. and he knows he knows what he is.
Yeah.
The King James moniker, like, he believes that. He is the guy. That's why the remark last year about value and what is valuable, and then he made some remark in the, I don't remember if it was at the parade or if it was right after the finals, but he used the word valuable in his speech. And it wasn't by accident. Like, his Zero Dark, what is it called? Zero Dark 23, where he gets off of all social media stuff. He's going to do that any second. But he knows what's going on. He knows everything that's being said. Yeah. And he just stores it away for later. And he will throw it back at the appropriate time. When they won that series, he threw all that valuable MVP, who's best, who's this, who's the face of the league. He threw that all back at everybody who said it wasn't him.
Right. Yeah, when he said earlier he was going to take the high road. And then he's also got to realize, he's probably realizing this slowly but surely, and it is amazing what he's done for this amount of time. If you think about that 2003 draft, which many consider the best draft ever, it's him. You look at Bosch, not playing. Wade has started the downside, if not, you know, it's really hitting. Carmelo, not the same player, but LeBron is still playing.
Still the guy.
At an MVP level, and people still think he can win another championship. It's pretty amazing.
Still win multiple championships.
Still could.
I don't know that he can win another MVP award, given I don't know what he would have to do to get voters' attentions to win another MVP award.
I don't know that he – I mean, I think he would like more, but I don't think he cares.
Yeah, no, I don't think he cares either. I just question, like, can he?
Yeah.
Because we're looking at all these other – we're looking for something different.
Right.
Right? And he would have to be not only the best player in the league at that time, he would have to be – the best version of himself.
Yeah.
Which, like we talked about this, mentioned this earlier, he has to have one of his best years. Not just the best year in the NBA.
Right, compared
but
to
it has to be
resume.
Let's compare it to 2008. I don't know that they'll ever be. I don't care how many threes Steph Curry hit last year. I don't care how many triple doubles Russell Westbrook had this year. I don't know that they'll ever be a better season than what LeBron had in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It was phenomenal.
You're right.
I mean,
the percentages and efficiency.
From start to finish, from the way he played in the regular season, the way he played in the playoffs, the final, and he won a gold medal a couple weeks later. I mean, what he did from beginning to end was just astonishing. I've never seen anything like it.
I know. Now with all the attention that Westbrook's getting with his triple-doubles, it almost makes me wonder if someone will go, okay, well, I'm going to go for that. Easier said than done. I wonder if it were Westbrook even to pass it, or Harden, or Giannis, or LeBron, and then do we look at now Russ's year different if that were to happen?
Yeah.
But
Yeah. It's a the book, basically, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry from Marcus Thompson, one of the big subplots in it is the jealousy of Steph Curry, and I just find that so incredible. He's, what is he, like the sixth highest paid player on the Warriors.
Something like that.
That is about to drastically change here in, what, three months or so?
Yeah.
But still, the most incredible team-friendly deal I think I've ever seen in the history of professional sports.
Yeah. And that's what helped him get Durant and a few other things. And then now he'll be able to get his.
And remember, it's so much easier for all people who ask, well, how are they going to do this? How are they going to do that? It's so much easier to keep a player you have.
Correct.
Than to sign a player that you don't. That's why it was so important. If they're going to sign Durant, they got to do it this year, because when Steph's contract's up this summer, there's no way they could have gotten KD this summer. Because, you know, I was one of the people who thought he was going to opt in.
Right.
Or no, it wasn't an opt-in. It was a sign. He was going to sign a one-year deal with Oklahoma City. I had said that. I'm certain this is what he was going to do. But financially, he wouldn't have been able to come to Golden State this summer.
Right.
So, just interesting. The book is out. Marcus Thompson, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. We will have Marcus Thompson on again with us very soon. We've teased a little bit of baseball. We'll talk a little bit of baseball. Also, we didn't get to do our best and worst of the weekend yesterday. There was a couple of things we couldn't fit in yesterday, including a really, really bad weekend for the UFC. We'll explain. We got 30 minutes left on Sports 1140 KHDK.
We mentioned that at 12 o'clock, Russell Westbrook is resting was a hell of a way to start the show. I challenge you, if you can get that out. Russell Westbrook is resting.
In the Western Conference.
In the Western Conference, huh? There you go. They're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. I was hoping he'd play all 82. I assume he's going to play tomorrow in Denver. It is 2:32. I'm sorry, they're playing Denver in Oklahoma City tomorrow. It's 2:32. Time to save money on Shell gasoline. Text the word DAVE to 83835 now and save 25 cents off your second fill-up. We've been teasing baseball. Talked a little bit about the Chicago Cubs and the banner-raising ceremony and the party that seemed to go on for 108 years leading into the actual game with the Dodgers yesterday. It was a thrilling game if you were able to, you know, stick around for it.
Right.
Had a fun finish.
Yeah.
But the Cubs raised their banner. Cubs and Dodgers are off today. The Cubs will get their rings tomorrow. They have a 5 o'clock game, 5 o'clock our time tomorrow, then an 11 a.m. start on Thursday. We noted the rain delay in that game, which is fitting, given the way game 7
went.
Yeah,
exactly.
There was also a review during the game that seemed to have taken forever. I don't think that's what Rob Manfred wanted.
Did it matter, though, because that four-pitch walk is now...
Well, that saved so much time. Everything so much smoother now in baseball.
Yeah.
They're worried about the wrong things.
I agree.
They're worried about the wrong things. I don't know how fast a baseball game has to be. One, for them to stop talking about it. And two, for them to think people are satisfied with it. Like, I don't see, if I sit down to watch a baseball game, I know I'm going to be watching it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably have a second screen in front of me. But I have a second screen in front of me if I'm watching the first quarter of an NBA game. Unless I'm sitting at the Golden One Center, and
Right. Even
in some of those cases, I have a second screen
in
front of me.
You're a multiple watcher? You got multiple things?
Choices? It depends. I mean, sometimes it's multiple watching. We're getting into the time of year where it's not going to be watching. I'll just have... You know, if I'm watching the Giants or the A's or whatever, it'll be on in front of me. But my iPad or computer will be in my lap. That's
doing something else, too. If something's going on, okay, I'll watch the TV otherwise.
And that's not good. That's not a good way to go about anything. But it's just hard for me to hold my focus that long on a baseball game. Football a little bit, which, again, the Red Zone channel is the ultimate ADD thing in which you don't need a second screen. You don't need anything. You could just have the Red Zone channel on in front of you. Occasionally, I'll have the second screen on if I want to have the Red Zone in front of me and like the Raiders game in its entirety on the iPad or the 49ers game or whatever.
Yeah, the beauty of the Red Zone is like, you know, if you're with someone that's a channel changer all the time, it's like, oh, wait, I was just getting into that. Like, a little jump to, I'll go back. Wait, but the Red Zone, all right, you're showing me Eagles, Titans, but I don't know when we'll be back to that game, if at all, but it's because something's about to happen.
Yeah.
And then you jump to Kansas City and Jacksonville. All right, I'm cool. And then, oh, wow, now we're watching Dallas. And it's just they jump, but it's not offensive.
Right, right.
And then, we got three things. Boop, three box, and it's all up there. You're like, okay, cool, I'm watching them all.
Yeah.
They do a good job of that.
There are those few moments of panic, though, where you know a game like went to commercial or went to timeout and it's coming up on the field goal attempt and you start screaming at the TV, go back to the Pittsburgh game. Go back. What are you guys doing? You're going to miss it.
And then they do.
They always go back to it on time. Exactly. I don't think they've ever missed it.
Yeah. They're good.
But I feel like people have taken that, and people being sports leads have taken that, and Rob Manfred is like, well, what's good about this? You can't do that with baseball.
No.
Right? You can't create that kind of network for baseball, and you can't create that type of atmosphere. It's not a fast-moving sport. The game's going to take a while. Four-pitch walks or one-pitch walks or your signal, your hand signal, whatever you're doing, reviews. Get the review right.
Yeah.
Above anything else. If it takes you 2 minutes, fine. Get the review right, and then we'll go from there. But they're so worried about Roger Goodell, that same nonsense we were reading about a couple of weeks ago, that they're going to cut out commercials and shorten this. It's like no one's thinking about that.
Yeah, have good storylines, have good games. Last year, the Cubs winning the World Series was humongous for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Try to build your stars. That's the one thing that maybe is hurting this sport. There are plenty of good baseball players, plenty of big names. But a lot of America doesn't seem to gravitate to them like they do football players and basketball players.
And that's
I don't know the answer to that. Why?
Yeah, you just mentioned two things that I think are that Major League Baseball struggles with at this time of year. One, they're competing essentially with the only time of the NBA that matters, and that's the start of the playoffs. The playoffs are going to begin on Saturday, and that's going to take you until the middle of June. But what are the storylines for the beginning of the Major League Baseball season, and who do I need to watch?
Yeah, I think baseball does a good job in they're very regional. So I think people in the Bay Area, they know their ace. They know their Giants. They know, I know, they're stars. We know Buster. We know Matt. Sure. Here. But and maybe the Giants aren't the best example because they've now been on the big stage for the last several years. But, you know, Mike Trout is he's a generational player. I don't know. He walks down Madison right out here outside our radio station. Everybody know who that is?
No.
Right.
He'd catch my eye. I still can't say for certain I would know. He would catch my eye because of the way he's built. And
right.
His size.
That guy's put together.
Yeah. Lumberjack? Like, what is that guy?
But Westbrook walks down. You go, hey, why is Russell Westbrook outside our studio? But
I would very much ask that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you'd probably leave the studio and go run after him.
Well, why do you act like that's weird or something?
I'm not. It's not.
I think you could probably pick the 10th or 11th guy on an NBA bench and know who they were over the top 6, 7, 8, 10 players in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, Mike Trout Mike Trout is a big dude. Bryce Harper has has the beard, and he has the perfectly sculpted hair.
Right.
You could probably pull Bryce Harper out of a crowd somewhere.
Would you recognize Clayton Kershaw walking down the street?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's tall, though.
Tall, so
he'd get my attention, right. And I'd probably look at him closer than I would but Bryce Harper's not tall.
Right.
But what I'm saying, Hunter Pence is another guy you could probably he has a unique look.
Yeah.
You'd probably who is that Hunter Pence or is that a homeless guy?
Right.
But he has a defining look that you would be able to.
Yeah. And though he's on TV commercials a lot, Buster Posey's walking in the mall, and James Harden's walking in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows who James Harden is. I don't say everyone, but more people know that's James Harden.
Everyone will soon learn who James Harden is because one person will turn into 50.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen with Posey. Yeah. Because Posey, if you got 10 people crowded around Posey, people would just kind of look like, who is that? I don't think they'd gravitate towards him.
Right.
Whereas if it was James Harden or one of those guys, people would just gravitate that way. That even if they didn't know who he is, they would gravitate that way.
Yeah.
And now that we're actually having this conversation out loud, I'm starting to think of a million other people that would be more recognizable than baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver.
Right.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.,
sure.
Jeff Gordon. I would spot all of them. Tony Stewart.
Conor McGregor.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, I think it was last week or the week before that ESPN had that survey with the top 50 most and baseball had three, and it was Pete Rose, Babe Ruth, and Barry Bonds. It was people outside that weren't even playing anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, I think, for the sport.
I mean, Chicago, you think about the Cubs and what they did, do you think most people could pull someone out of the Cubs roster on the street?
No.
One single player?
No. And I actually knew a pretty good Cubs fan, like a lifelong Cubs fan. I was like, wait, and we were starting to, when the playoffs are going on and asking about players, they didn't know who everybody was. I'm like, wow, this is your team. But they got caught up in the moment, too, because now their team was good.
They're just not recognized. It's just, that's the strangest thing. They don't have, I can't think of one, even Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, I can't think of one, like, ad that those guys are in. Like, I can name 10 Russell Westbrook ads,
yeah.
20 Steph Curry ads, a million LeBron ads. Mike Trout?
Yeah.
Bryce Harper?
And
Miguel Cabrera,
just,
Hunter
yeah.
Penn. I can think of the Bumgarner
like
truck commercial.
A lot.
I can't think of one.
No,
I can. And I'm not talking about ads that aired during the Giants game.
Right.
I'm talking about you're watching SportsCenter and when it comes on. Mm-hmm. I can't think of one.
Yeah.
The only commercial that is sticking out in my head right now that has a baseball player is the Madison Bumgarner truck commercial.
Okay. Yeah, Posey's got some Toyota commercials, but I don't know if you've.
I don't know that I've even seen those.
Yeah.
And if I do, they weren't memorable.
Right.
But again, Bumgarner's a guy, maybe I'd recognize him. Mm-hmm. Like, he had, like Bryce Harper, he has a unique look. Again, he's very tall people catch your attention, right? Tall people, big people, they catch your attention. That's what Bumgarner is. Bryce Harper has a unique look. He'll catch your attention. When, what was his name? Brian Wilson.
Yes.
And in his heyday, he'll get everybody's attention because of that. That beard was the biggest thing in the world at the time.
You know, now we're seeing this is reminding me of a story I wanted to tell you about Sunday at the game, Kings Rockets. There was a guy there that probably 2 to 3 inches shorter than James Harden, but had a Rockets jersey on, had the beard, and he looked like he was pretty close to a doppelganger. Pretty close. Not spot on. You knew he wasn't him, but you're like, to the point where people went and took pictures with him.
You can go to the club.
Yeah.
You can go to the club and make it happen, buddy.
And it wasn't because they thought it was James Harden that wanted to take it. Look at how much this guy looks like James Harden. And he was standing down courts right there just to make sure people could see him. He wanted James Harden to see him. You go, wow, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Looks pretty much like him.
We'll come back. Oh, by the way, Chris Davis hit a 2-run homer. Kings, A's were able to get the win
4-4
yesterday. Hopefully you were listening here on Sports 1140. Giants were able to get the win also. We'll come back and wrap things up here on the Lowdown. One thing we didn't touch there is we got into a conversation about recognizable baseball players or whether they are recognizable. The A's are removing the upper deck tarp. That's news for A's fans. And
yeah. Mount Davis, $15 tickets.
All right. More people there. All right.
I think the A's are going to feel pretty comfortable now.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Like, you know, we kind of have control of this. Let's get our stadium. Let's get it the way we want. And a lot of, I think it was Friday. Yeah, Friday when you're off, we had Ken Korak on, and he said it was the most optimistic he has been in his 20-plus years working with the team that they will get whatever they want stadium-wise. Whether it's, there's a couple different locations they've talked about, but he feels like, all right, this is finally going to happen.
I don't remember if you or Ken said this, and I don't even remember who, if it was on the air. But I do know someone said if the A's really wanted to, if Oakland really wanted to mess with the Raiders, you just leave the diamond out there all year.
I know. Wait, what? Whoops. Yeah.
Okay, there it is. Our producer, Chris Vallad, said it. Yeah, just leave the diamond out there all year. That's funny. But, yeah, good for the – you know, they haven't – again, 8 games in, I get it. But if you enjoy watching early season baseball, they haven't been boring to watch.
No, and I think Chris Davis is going to carry over just from what he did a year ago. That guy can just mash. Got a couple home runs already, and he just, yeah, I think he's one of the bright spots pitching. And this, again, kind of that gritty team. I don't expect him to do a whole lot of damage, but I don't think anybody looks forward to playing because they're kind of tough.
We had a quick 34-minute show yesterday. We weren't able to do some of our normal Monday things. There were a couple of things we wanted to touch on here in terms of best and worst of the weekend. Best, won't sugarcoat it, won't hide it. It was watching Russell Westbrook on Sunday. I'm sure everybody listening could have caught that in 2 seconds. It would have guessed that that was my best. The worst, though, the UFC had a really bad weekend. They had a pay-per-view on Saturday night that was an absolute disaster in terms of presentation. The weigh-ins were an even bigger disaster. One girl was temporarily told she can't fight in New York by the Athletic Commission because she has breast implants.
Correct.
And she was told a number of fighters have fought with breast implants, and even in New York. She was later told she could fight, but that was the first weird story that came out. The next one was Daniel Cormier, who's was a champion in a championship fight. He came in to the weigh-in 1.6 pounds overweight.
He fixed that quickly.
He walked to the back for 2 minutes, came back. Now, keep in mind, he's dehydrated. There's no way he went to the bathroom of any sort in that 2 minutes. No way at all.
Oh, I thought that's what happened. No?
No chance at all because he's completely dehydrated. There's no way he did any of that. Walks back out and suddenly weighs 205 on the dot. Now, they're holding the towel in front of him because he has to strip all of his clothes off. And so they hold the towel in front of him, and you can see his hands on the towel, which I immediately thought was weird but didn't think anything of it. And then I go to social, and then I read that that's a trick to lighten yourself on the scale. And I'm thinking, that's absurd. There's one, why would the commission allow that? And two, how does that help? So I, of course, had to try it out. Now, I didn't have anybody holding a towel in front of me, but I took my scale and put it in front of a towel rack and put pressure on the towel rack with my hands. It dropped me 2 pounds.
Yeah. You're just a little bit
off.
You're
pulling a little bit of the pressure off.
Yeah.
How did he get away with that? Yeah. And then he goes on to win the fight. So he goes on to beat Anthony. And I'm looking at Daniel Cormier that way, and he looks like hell. I'm looking at that like he's going to get destroyed. Rumble Johnson's going to kill him. He beats Rumble Johnson in the third round by a rear naked choke. Rumble goes out there and retires. He's like, I'm done fighting. I've committed to another job. I'm very excited about it. I'll tell you about it later. But I'm done. And so Daniel Cormier has to start picking out guys that he's got to call out. He calls out someone, calls out John Jones, who's in the front row. By the way, he's still suspended. It was just a bad look. Chris Weidman lost a controversial finish. It was just a really, really bad look for the UFC this weekend.
Yeah.
Including every fighter on social media saying, wow, Daniel Cormier really got away with the towel trick.
So they knew.
Just not
better than that.
Between Conor being gone or Conor going off to allegedly fight Floyd Mayweather, regardless of whatever he's doing, he's probably not fighting in the UFC this year.
Mm-hmm.
Ronda Rousey appears to be done. UFC is, and this happens with combat sports. It happens with boxing. I understand wrestling isn't a combat sport, but I'm going to lump them together as a sports and entertainment type deal. It goes through like these ebbs and flows where it's really, really hot and then it's really, really cold. UFC, you know, the last 2 years were really hot because of Ronda and Conor. They're on the verge of jumping that shark and heading into some very, very cold territory, which is bad news for them, which is bad news for the new owners, who just paid $4 some odd billion
yes.
for that company.
Yeah.
But they don't have anything sexy on the horizon, which is worrisome because I want to support the product. I've always liked the product, but after seeing that stuff they put on Saturday, not cool. Not a good look.
Yeah. My best and worst from the weekend. The best, we talked about it briefly yesterday. Didn't have a lot of time, but just the golf drama that happened. Good for Sergio to get a major, but the shot making between him and Rose, and then the misses that just, you know, when Rose misses on 18, basically takes his hat off, shakes his caddy's hand, thinks it's Sergio's, and then when he misses, after making all these great shots, but then he gets the drama and wins in the extra hole. So I thought that was great. My worst, I go back to Friday and Matt Cain,
ooh,
first start, and it's just, I love that Bochy believes in veterans, but the fact that he is now, I think, the only one. Like, nobody's in, I mean, people like Matt Cain,
yeah,
but nobody believes he can do it, and he was just serving him up, and you're just like, it's not surprising anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if he allows four runs, you feel good. Well, this was like 5-6 runs in a couple innings. It's like, he doesn't have it anymore.
I have a buddy who lives three doors down. I pass his house when I'm walking the dogs, and he has all this Giants stuff in his garage. And it's like a man cave in the garage with all this Giants stuff. And we talked before the home opener, and we passed him a couple of days later on the day that the Kane game was happening on Friday. And he just had this look like, I can't believe this is happening again.
It's like there
was no off season. That's absolutely true. Incredible.
Here's your list, Damian, for tonight's game. Get ready for this for the Suns.
Okay.
We know Rudy's out and Malachi's out. Costa gets the planned rest. Aaron Aflalo, planned rest. Tyreek Evans, planned rest. Darren Collison's out. He does have a migraine, apparently.
Are you playing? Are you suiting up?
Nope.
Are you going to be the Tony Romo special tonight?
Yeah, I'll go through layups and warm-ups, and I'll be throwing stuff into the crowd. No, that's the group.
Wow. Well, I can confirm this. There will be players in Sacramento Kings uniforms at the Golden 1 Center tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe not very many of them.
I think 9.
And then there'll be a few in the Phoenix Suns uniforms as well. We'll recap all of that. Tomorrow's Wednesday? I mean, Sam Amick will be with us. Sam, and we will make him give us his MVP vote tomorrow. Last week, it was Russell Westbrook. I can't imagine anything has changed that, but he will be with us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Until then, have a great rest of your day.